Baton Rouge, waiting for a train on a feeling near as faded as.
Welcome back.
Tears.
Welcome back. Bobby That's my public radio voice. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. You got Mark Becker and our friend Carlton Huffman, which, by the way, if you like what he has to say, he's got a new little project going on, Keeping It Real, right? What do you talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. It's you never knew who you're going to meet along the way, but I met a professor at East Tennessee State University by the name of Dr. Elwood Watson. If anybody's interested in his commentaries on just race, pop culture, society, I definitely encourage everybody to check him and his works out. But he came to me and said, we should do a podcast. And so we started putting it together last week, and we just put out our first episode. So it is Elwood and Carlton Keeping It Real on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if anybody's interested in checking it out, similar to some of the rantings here, but we go into anything from race, pop culture. I'm sure I'm going to get a sports reference in here or there somewhere.
Nice.
As well as talking about the experiences we've had along the way. And like I said, yeah. Mark, you're one of those people that I got to meet along the way through my time at the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
Speaking of, how about that for a little segue? Republican Party of Wisconsin, you know, I was recruited. Obviously, I didn't ultimately do it, but I recruited to potentially run for Congress. And one of the things that was interesting was learning about how, you know, just the downfall of where the RPW is right now. You worked for the RPW and you know a lot of the behind the scenes. Talk about what's going on over there.
Just to me to back up and just give everybody just the reputation of RPW, it used to be considered the elite state
gold
party
standard.
In the country. I mean, under Tommy Thompson, obviously Republicans were dominant at the state level. We always struggled in presidential years, but at the state level, we maintained control of the state assembly, the state senate. And we came very close to flipping the state in 2000 and 2004 under George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. We ran into some troubles, obviously, when Barack Obama came along and just swarmed the state in 2008. But between the backlash to Obamacare and the Great Recession, RPW reached its highest point yet with Scott Walker taking the governor's mansion, and they just had a stranglehold on everything that was going on in Madison. But along the way, there were certain things that happened in terms of the Republican Party of Wisconsin became what a lot of people, including some folks that we both know up there in the Green Bay area, would call the Republican Party of Walker. It became a vessel that was about his ambitions, both as governor, and eventually it would become about his ambitions to be president of the United States. And I would say that between him deciding to make RPW just central to his identity, that had a short-term benefit, especially during the 2012 recall. But as time wore on, people were getting bored with that. And then Walker decided to run for president, and then Donald Trump came down the escalator. And I would say if I had to pinpoint a certain time where the trajectory of RPW started to change, I would say that that's when it peaked and had its good moments, obviously, with Trump flipping the state in 2016, Ron Johnson being reelected. Trump obviously was able to win the state in 2024, but under the hood, especially at the state level, the party has definitely lost more than a step in terms of its ability to influence candidates. And definitely we saw it with the announced retirement of Annette Ziegler a year ahead of her reelection.
Yeah.
Like I said, all the levers of state government seem to be slipping away from them and slipping away fast.
I wonder, you know, is it due to, because like here locally, they're like Turning Point USA is recruiting candidates left and right. They have a Turning Point guy is like on the executive committee for the 8th congressional district. I mean, is that kind of becoming the new thing, or what is, it's such a weird dynamic going on.
I mean, power abhors a vacuum. And once again, when the state party became all about Scott Walker, you had other candidates had to go and do their own thing. Mike Gallagher, while he was up there in the 8th District, had to do his own thing. Reed Ribble, before him, had to do his own thing. All these other candidates had to go and do something else. And I would say, too, the party, because there was a sour taste left in a lot of people's mouths, they looked to these third-party groups. Before TPUSA really came into its own here in Wisconsin, it was these third-party, like, patriot groups that you would just see sprung up, especially whenever COVID happened, and, like, Moms for Liberty and these folks who were protesting education and vaccines. Once they came online, RPW had lost most of its credibility. It was a good vessel to be used by the national party and by the presidential candidates, but at the state and local level, most of these other candidates are having to fend for themselves, and that's why we saw the state Supreme Court races have gone the last few years the way that they have, and that's why I believe that Chris Taylor is just going to wallop Maria Lazar whenever April comes along. And our mutual friend Dan Schaefer did a great profile down in Waukesha County. You're starting to see Democrats penetrate into Waukesha, of all places, and that is a sea change that you could not have imagined whenever RPW was in its heyday.
Well, you know those players down there. I mean, that article is fantastic, and it's very, very in-depth. But, you know, and like, I think you look at some of the things that happened during the first Trump election, where you had Robin Voss and Nygren and Steinicke and all of that. It'd be the Never Trump movement started in Wisconsin.
Yeah. I mean, Wisconsin was the last state where Trump lost a serious primary, was whenever Scott Walker and company came out against him. And that, too, I think sowed the seeds for a lot of these Trump folks, that whenever Trump won the nomination, they didn't trust RPW anymore. And they decided that they were going to, like, not have anything to do with the party until after Trump won the election, and the apparatus decided there was not room for people like you. And they did. Right. And once I decided to become vocal, there wasn't room for people like me. And we see Robin Voss, basically, he barely won his primary a few years ago, and now he is, like, hanging it up, because now that the state Supreme Court stepped in and we have fair maps, the Republicans are likely to lose the state assembly, if not both houses of the legislature. And you just see the state. We remember what it was whenever 2010, or at the beginning of 2011, you had Scott Walker as governor, you had Republicans held all but one statewide office, and now Ron Johnson, and that's about it now at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, and all of those Republicans, I think Robin Voss is the last one to leave, but, you know, they all had to tuck their tail and go kiss the ring when Trump won, and yeah, it's just ugly. So, you know, I don't know what happens. And I think, you know, some of what we saw with the RPW is, if I look into my crystal ball, a lot of what Trump is doing with the Republican Party nationally.
Yeah. I mean, and I can say
it is the Trump Party.
Yeah. I can sit here and say, as someone both here in North Carolina and having the unique advantage of having been in Wisconsin, it was a similar trajectory that the Republican Party in both states gained control of the levers of power. But then with that coming of the Trump era, you just saw people fall off, deciding that they could not go along with it. But the Republican Party is in that, like I said, just symbiotic relationship with him, where it cannot pull itself away because too many of the base will revolt. And the institutions of power just continue their rot. And just, spoiler alert, none of us live forever. And Donald Trump is as old as Joe Biden was at this point of his presidency. And he's not getting any younger. He's obviously lost some of his fastball. And the party is going to have to decide what it looks like after he's gone. But they're not willing to have that conversation now, because anytime he senses that anybody's a threat to him, he comes down on them.
Well, look what he's doing in Texas. You know, he's like, I'm going to endorse. But then he just sits back on his hands and lets people grovel. I think he likes that.
I mean, the fact that several people that I worked for, just, and I won't name names for politeness sake, but several people I worked for.
Names. No.
would go down to Mar-a-Lago just to kiss the ring. I had one candidate, I will sit there and say, that did not. He was the last person that I worked for there in Wisconsin, did not go down to Kiss the Ring, which to his credit. But because of that, he didn't win that primary. He did not win that primary for governor. You had Tim Michaels end up kissing the ring and winning that primary and losing to Tony Evers. And I was just there and say, like, I was in the room when Scott Walker announced his presidential campaign. I was also in the room when Scott Walker found out that he had lost that 2018 election. And so it was just a unique vantage point to sit there and see the party at its height and then just the beginning of the decline that we are seeing it today.
We're talking with Carlton Huffman, Republican strategist and dear friend. What is their path forward? Or do they not know until Trump figures it out?
They don't know until Trump figures it out. As far as like Wisconsin, we'll see if Tom Tiffany is able to defeat whoever emerges from the Democrat primary. I know you and I have talked offline about some of my critiques of certain members of the Democrat candidate's family, but I would still say that with the national environment being what it is, and obviously with this war in Iran putting extra stress on the economy, it's just another log on the fire that I think is going to consume the Republicans, that as long as the Democrats stay out of their own way, that I think that it will be a similar to 2018, if not a 2006 scenario where the Republicans just get bludgeoned, but they made this bed, they have to lie in it. You had a candidate that promised no more wars. Well, here we are, another war in the Middle East, that the economy was going to get better. It hasn't. And that we were going to have transparency in government, whereas we still don't know what all is in the Epstein files while his family is raking in billions, including getting gifts from foreign powers that we would lose our minds over if that happened, if Barack Obama or Joe Biden did the same thing. And the people of the United States, I mean, you see it with Trump's approval rating. It is lower than Joe Biden's was at this point in his presidency. It was lower than George W. Bush's approval rating at this point in his presidency. So I just think that the Republican Party, if they bind themselves to him so inextricably as they have, they're going to suffer in November, and I think the Democrats will take the governor's mansion once again in Wisconsin and probably take one, if not both, houses of the legislature.
Yeah, I do think it's the Democrats' race to lose. But and like what's so frustrating is you look at approval ratings, you look at the fact that, you know, promises made, promises, you know, broken type thing. But there's no seriousness. It's oh yeah, well, my approval ratings, it's the highest of any other president. What? Like, there's no, it's not true. And people still eat it up. It's, I don't know.
I can sit here and for some of your younger listeners, you might not remember this. I think you might remember this, but in 2003, speaking of Middle East wars, whenever the United States was going to Baghdad, there was this Iraqi propaganda minister, and we nicknamed him Baghdad Bob, who was sitting there saying that the Americans are not anywhere near Baghdad. Yeah, and then you see split screen on the other side with the American tanks rolling into the city. But people prefer to live in their land of delusion until reality smacks them upside the head. And come November, I think it's going to.
And it's really wild and crazy and insane that we have that here in the United States of America. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, Carlton Huffman, dude, I really appreciate you being here. I appreciate your friendship. You're a good dude, and you keep in touch. I know we got some exciting things coming that we'll talk about offline. But, hey, stick around with us. I got one more segment. Carlton, be well, brother. All right, stick around to the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Mark Becker.